I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, an American Gods podcast. Though not a weekly American Gods podcast, apparently.
Yeah, sometimes we fall a little short.
Hey, but hey, we're going to make it to the end of this show. I think we only had one Legion podcast where we did two episodes. So, which granted, that was a pretty short season too, so... Over eight episodes, we did seven, I think. So, yeah, we kind of
somebody
sucked,
just
man.
Asked us about that, didn't they?
Yeah, on Twitter. Seven, I forget her Twitter name. Seven by the Sea, something like that. Did we do a Legion podcast? And I directed her to this podcast. So, So yeah, Legion was fun. Legion was excellent. Legion was a much better show than this. So
yeah, this one falls a little short like we do. Which we'll blame the show on the reason we're not getting the podcast out in a timely manner.
I mean, I guess okay, so we're doing A Murder of Gods, which is episode 6, and A Prayer for Mad Sweeney, which is episode 7. If this will come out probably Sunday, so the finale actually airs tonight, or tomorrow as we're recording. So, I forget where I was going with all that. It's kind of late, and I'm very, very tired. I think I've had about 7 hours of sleep in the last 2 days. So, yeah, what were we talking about? Now I sound like I'm the drunk one. So, usually you go off the rails.
I mean, I don't know where you were going.
Hard to like, get amped up for the... And it's not that I hate the show. Like, I would still watch the show. It's just, I'm not...
It's a chore to watch, kind of like I was saying about...
I don't think it's a chore. It's just... It's a show that I would watch, not as necessarily, kind of like a background show. Like, I wouldn't watch it, like, as intense to, actually, the last few episodes, I haven't watched that intensely.
Me either, so we're both on the same page.
So, you know, which sucks, because, like, Lemon-Scented You ends on an incredible high note. Right? That's the one that ends with...
Yeah. With him getting attacked by Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
I mean, that was amazing. And there are parts of Get Gone that we really liked, too. Mostly the Mad Sweeney stuff, I think. Because it's a lot of Laura's story, which, much like Shadow, she's just not a character I give a damn about at all. Even though I guess it's kind of their story. I gotta stop saying and so much. I could never make it as a public speaker.
No, I listen to talk show radio, sports radio all the time. You'd be surprised.
Maybe that's why we don't get paid as podcasters, because we say and too much.
No, I'm saying you'd be surprised how much they say it.
Well, yeah, but they're filling hours of show, and they're kind of
The average
stalling,
show is about 2 to 3 hours,
and they're kind
so.
of stalling as like news comes in. Generally, we should have this show together, and we don't. I think when we're passionate about something, it comes through a lot better. We were pretty passionate about Legion and our enjoyment and love of it. We've been very, very tepid on this show. So, anybody that's really enjoying the show is probably not enjoying listening to us talk about the show.
No, probably not. Although I do feel like it's picking up and now it's the end of the season.
Well, okay, so just I guess brief plot summary, because I think we're going to be all over the place with these two episodes. A Murder of Gods, episode 6. Wednesday and Shadow are on the run, so they seek safe haven with Vulcan, the god of fire and forge, played by the, I want to say always brilliant. I mean, is it
The
fair to
Gene
say always
Hackman
brilliant?
looking, and he,
He does.
no,
He is
that's,
sporting a Gene Hackman look, right?
it's fair to say. I mean, like the smallest role I've ever seen him play, and I know he's been in a lot of TV stuff, but first of all, L.A. Law was one of my favorite shows.
And what's funny is you were watching L.A. Law when,
When I was like 9 years
yeah,
old.
when people would not like. You were not at the age to watch L.A. Law.
No, but there's only one reason it was my favorite show.
Corbin Burnson or somebody else?
Susan Day.
Oh, okay.
I was madly in love with that woman.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're talking about Corbin Burnson. He of, I mean, so much TV show fame, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, like the smallest part, I was saying the smallest part I've seen him play, he was even brilliant at, was in Major League. He was a total jerk, and he was great at it.
Strike, what is he telling? Strike this, is it effer? Strike this son
I
of a,
think he says MF-er. Yeah, I
yeah.
think so.
Strike this MF-er out.
No, he can't drop the. It's probably not the F-bomb, but it might be a-hole or something like that, so.
Yeah. I mean, but Burnson goes, I mean, way back, like, there's a show in the 80s called Ryan's Hope that he was on.
Yeah, I
You
never
know?
watched that, but
And I mean, he's got so much TV credit. It's kind of ridiculous. But I mean, he's a phenomenal actor. And like we said, just, I don't know if I've ever seen him be bad in anything. So, yeah, it got me excited for the episode.
After we were introduced to him, it was almost, it had to be a good 5 minutes before I was like, oh, that's Corbin Burnson. Don't pay attention to the credits and stuff, so.
Well, I knew he was going to show up
But,
eventually, but I just didn't. He was in a, not to keep going on about Corbin Burnson, but he was in this TV show that I really, really want to try to track down, although I'm pretty sure you just can't find it because there were only like 7 episodes. It was called A Whole New Ball Game. He was a professional baseball player.
That sounds right up my alley. I really want to watch it now.
All I said was professional baseball player. He was
I don't
hired
care.
as a sports announcer during the baseball strike. So it had Corbin Burnson, Richard Kind, and John O'Hurley, who played Peterman on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
So if anybody knows where you can find that show, I would like to watch it. So it looks like a really fun show. I like all those people. So anyway, Corbin Burnson's brilliant is the point of the whole conversation. And He's fantastic for what he is in this episode, which is essentially, I guess, a guy.
He's basically the god of war, basically, right? I mean,
well, fire and forge, so yeah. Because it's, for him, it's all about the bullets. Which was an absolutely beautiful sequence. But holy hell, why does it have to be so long? Was that me?
No, it was, I didn't get it either. It was kind of, and then when they did it again, I was like, again with this?
You know, I just
you're
don't
talking
know.
About them making the bullet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And like, the scene went on forever, and then, like you said,
it felt like a scene out of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like, why do we keep having to see this?
I mean, maybe that was the point. Is it was like this demented Willy Wonka thing. And, you know, that's great. And it's gorgeous, and I got it. That's one of my, I think, biggest problems with this show is I get it.
Overdoing it a little bit?
Yeah. I feel like most of it could just be 30-minute episodes. I don't... Because there's a lot of meandering, much like us talking about the show, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, in case you didn't get it. And then when things happen, that happens so damn fast that...
That's what bothers me, is the combination of both. Is the overdoing it of some things and the very fastness of other things. And you're like, what just happened? Like, I have no idea what just happened.
So yeah, Wednesday and Shadow go see Vulcan, and we get, I guess, some exposition, but it's kind of just hitting home the things they've already hinted at, right? About new gods versus old gods.
Yeah.
And Mr. Wednesday, or Wednesday, is basically recruiting. And not only does he need a place to hide out, but he's also looking for somebody, especially somebody like this, to be on his side. Well, it doesn't really work out for him. And he's going to get betrayed, but as soon as he finds out he's getting betrayed, right, he then just kills his friend. So,
I mean, pretty much. I want to jump all the way back to the beginning.
No, I did. I was specifically avoiding all of that because while I enjoyed Corbin Burnson, like, just being a bad guy, especially a quote unquote god, I mean, if this is his audition tape for, hell, for the Green Goblin in the new Spider-Man
I was about
film.
To say for a Marvel movie, because that's what he came off as.
I think he could do it. I think he nails it. In fact, screw Michael Keaton, man. They should have cast Corbin Burnson as the Vulture.
No, I'm happy to see Michael Keaton back in...
Me too, but it feels a little obvious that, hey, the guy that played Batman and the Birdman, we got him to play the Vulture.
No, see, I don't think about that. You should think about, this is the same guy that pulled off Batman and the crazy, what was the name of that movie? He was the crazy tenant in an apartment building.
Yeah, and he like kind of wound up staying in their attic after they tried to throw him out or whatever.
Yeah, and he was absolutely nuts. I mean,
he's good at playing kind of crazy.
Exactly.
So. You didn't see Birdman, did you?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so... It just feels a little too on the nose, you know? But whatever. I'm sure he's going to be great, but, I mean...
No, if they... I think if they ever decide to go white, Samuel Jackson's character, Nick Fury. If they ever decide to go white Nick Fury, cast Corbin Burnson.
No, I want to see him, like, play a legit super villain bad guy. You know what, man? Like, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say, I know he's old, but no, maybe he's a little too old for that. I was gonna say Daredevil season three, Corbin Burns
Bullseye?
in his Bullseye.
That would be fun.
He might be a little too old, but like, how cool would that be? Like, it's this older guy, you know, who like he doesn't get involved in hand-to-hand combat because he's from a distance, you know. So I think that I don't know. I just want to see, I want to see Corbin Burnson in a much bigger villainous role because he was the best part of this
The
episode.
best 15 minutes of the
Shadow continues to just annoy the hell out of me. Although, in his defense, like the character's defense, he still does not know what the F is going on.
No, he's pretty puzzled. I think he's putting it all together now, but
Yeah, a little bit. So, outside of all that, I mean, is there anything else to talk about other than, oh, hey, you were betraying me, but I got you. I'm betraying
no,
you.
not really, but I do want to go right to the beginning of the
Okay, so
episode.
the Jesus of it all. What did you think?
I thought it was a nice callback to an earlier line in an earlier episode.
Okay, I'm. This is where you get to be. Like, no, remember, blah, 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 because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hold on, I found the line.
Oh, wait, that's right. Are you talking about
Yeah.
when Mad Sweeney's like.
No, when his shadow says something about Jesus,
Oh,
and
Wednesday
Wednesday
says.
says you got white Jesus, you got black Jesus, you got Mexican Jesus, you got Greek Jesus. I mean, he starts naming off all these Jesuses. Well, which Jesus? We just met a Jesus. We met Mexican Jesus.
I mean, yeah, I forgot about that. That's pretty funny, and you're right, it is a nice callback.
Well, I read something online. That's not the only Jesus we're gonna meet.
No, it's not. So,
That has me pretty curious.
well, I'm interested in how you felt about, 'cause it's one thing to and this is not dismissing anybody's faith or affirming any specific faith or whatever, but it's one thing to talk about like the Greek or Roman gods that don't exist, you know, and have not been really anything other than myths in, you know, 2,000 years or whatever. But when you bring in a god that's part of a religion that's still, which I guess they've done it with other things, but we really haven't seen a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
So, and
It, I mean,
not like the god of the religion. Like we haven't seen Buddha or, well, I don't know, I don't know a lot about Buddhism. We haven't seen Allah. Which I don't think they'll ever do because then, you know, we would wind up in a holy war. So, because you can't portray Allah in media. I think that's the way it goes. If I remember my South Park right. But now you're bringing in, like, Jesus. And not just that, but, you know, I guess spoilers, but. He already said it earlier, like you said, multiple Jesuses. You know, I mean, do you think it's a
I
good
think it's a
idea?
TV show.
But I know that, but I mean,
Do
do
I
you.
think it's a good idea? No. I mean, it's not a bad idea. It's not a good idea, but it's not a bad idea.
I guess the
but
way.
I'm just I think that the Bible was written by man, and man is flawed. I mean,
well, no, I'm not even talking about from like a point of view of, like I said, affirming or not, you know, affirming anybody's religion, or dismissing it. But are you doing this just to kind of be provocative? Maybe there were multiple Jesus characters in the book, but I don't remember it, like, coming up as, like, specific as it is in this episode, and considering the name of the next episode, as much as I assume it will be in the next episode, because it's called Come to Jesus. So, you know, I don't know. It just feels like a thing that it was like, oh, you know what we can do? We can, you know, have a bunch of Jesus characters.
And well, there's no such thing as bad press. So if they cause controversy, people are either going to say, don't watch this show, which will make people want to watch it. Or people are going to, actually, that's all it's going to be. Is, you know, if you have a bunch of people disliking the fact that they're bringing Jesus into a television show in this kind of television show.
Well, it's,
if they're looking for bad press, it's still, there's no such thing as bad press.
Well, it's just, it's interesting to me because we have a show that's also, well, it's way more steeped in a quote unquote Christian religion than this show probably ever will be. But, like, Preacher on AMC, like, brings a lot of Bible stuff into it because it deals with religion. But it feels less like a controversy for the sake of controversy. Like, they do controversial stuff on Preacher, but none of it ever feels like we're going to put this in there just to see if we can ruffle any feathers. And specifically the way this plays out, like Jesus.
Yeah, he gets shot and he
helping people cross the border.
Right, and he dies with his arms basically like he's nailed to the cross.
Well, I mean that was just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, symbolism. Yeah, you're a little on the nose with your symbolism, but whatever. My thing is, and this, it makes me sound so, like right-wing, and I'm not. But the scene plays out with some people crossing the border, Mexican. I'm going to make an assumption that makes me sound like an ass. I'm assuming Catholic just because of the way it was kind of portrayed, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know a lot about Catholicism either, so whatever. Anyway, a Christian faith, and like all the other gods, we have these people bringing their God with them over to this country. And their God is, like Wednesday said, Mexican Jesus. And so they get stopped by, I'm assuming not border security, I'm assuming a bunch of redneck jackasses who have dubbed themselves border security. And
hey, yeah, you know what's on those bullets, right?
No.
You didn't see it?
No. Is it?
It's Corbin Burnson's.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean that's an interesting.
What's like, his name?
Vulcan.
Vulcan. It says Vulcan on the bullets.
Yeah, I watched it on my Kindle, so the screen's kind of small. I should have noticed that. But like, not, and I don't want to get too political, but we are in the Donald Trump era of this freaking country, and like it or hate it, seems like a lot of people hate it, me being one of them, there's a lot of, or there was leading up to his inauguration, a lot of talk about, you know, Border Patrol building the wall, kind of very dismissive and racist of Mexicans and their culture, and just all this stuff. And while I can appreciate a statement about that in a show, this just feels so heavy-handed and so on the nose, so obvious, so like poking the bear,
Yeah, like accusatory.
Yeah, that I was like, I don't know, can't we be smarter than this? Or not, I say we like I'm on the damn team. I know Brian Fuller is a very intelligent person. He's one of my favorite TV writers of all time. He's created a few of my favorite shows. And this just felt like a very, very obvious statement. And A, somebody who is more right wing will watch that and it will immediately turn them off. So you're not going to win anybody over. And somebody like me, it feels like you're so preaching to the choir that I'm just rolling my eyes at it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So, but that said, it's an absolutely gorgeous, like the way it's shot, the slow motion is really, the slow motion in this show in general is very, very good and very pretty, but holy hell, do they love to use it, man. I mean, there's like
A
six or
lot.
seven slow motion shots in every episode. There's the crash scene in the next episode that feels like it goes on for 5 minutes. Like, I don't need to see Emily Browning's face. Those slow motion shots of like when people are getting like hit with things and like,
Yeah, and like
yeah.
flubber, it look well, flubber or flab or whatever it's
Yeah,
like.
I don't need to see that, man. I don't care. It feels like, oh, wait. We've only got 43 minutes of an episode. We need 44 and a half minutes. Okay, slow this shot down and this shot down, and that'll get us to 44 and a half minutes. There you go, we're good. Like,
Well,
stop, man. Just
there's
stop.
two more things I want to talk about on this episode, and we can move on to the next one.
Okay.
The first one is the introduction of, which isn't the actual first introduction, but the true introduction of Mad Sweeney and the Dead Wife. Is this not some of the greatest stuff you've ever seen in your life?
I don't. I've been pretty on the like pretty upfront with not loving the Laura stuff, and Emily Browning's fine. And like I said when we did the first episode, they did not cast Emily Browning for her character not to play a role. But it's Pablo Schreiber who, I feel like he's the one pulling like her performance out of her. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But her playing off of him is much easier to take than
No, I mean
when.
you, it's like we have a whole different character, right? I
Yeah.
mean, the one you met before she met Mad Sweeney, you would have thought she was just, like sleeping with the other guy because her husband was in prison and it just happened. And once you meet her, risen from the grave, and Mad Sweeney together, she seems like this almost like evil bitch. I mean, she will kill you. So I don't know if that's a result of what's happened to her, but it seems like two totally different characters. But them playing off of each other, and yes, him pulling more of a good performance out of her, it's just fantastic. I think it's great.
Well, yeah, I probably shouldn't have worded it like that because I do think she's fine as an actress. I just like your point is probably better. It's her with him, like her and Shadow. Every time we see them together, it's the kind of broken romantic nonsense that I just don't care about. The stuff in
And
her
yeah,
past, I don't give a crap about it. It just makes her look like a horrible person, and not that you should be rooting for her, but if she's gonna be part of the show, I don't necessarily want to spend like all of her screen time wishing she was dead. Like dead, dead, you know? 'Cause every time we see something about what she did in the past, it's just like, no, he's taking her to go get revived. She doesn't deserve that. She doesn't deserve a second chance. You know?
I can agree with you.
Maybe she does, but it makes it hard for me to feel like she does, you know? Whereas, like, Mad Sweeney is a total bastard. But when you see his backstory, you feel for the dude, right?
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a minute. The second thing I wanted to kind of just touch on is Salim and the Jinn. I don't understand it.
Me either.
Am I lost? I thought he became the Jinn.
That's what I thought too. So, yeah, I mean, we're
Okay,
in the same
as
boat
long as
there.
we're on the same boat.
Yeah.
That's all I have for this episode. So.
I really, really like that guy.
So do I.
And I'm really interested to see where that goes. More than a little pissed off when he just gets dismissed from the episode in A Prayer for Mad Sweeney. Like, I appreciate the way he gets dismissed, but what the hell, man?
Well, on that note, let's move into A Prayer for Mad Sweeney.
So, which is.
Which I mean, we touched on pretty much everything that was important in the last episode, right? I mean,
I think
well,
so.
we didn't talk about the sword that was like I wish I had that sword, but
Yeah.
what did Corbin Burnson think he was going to do with the sword when you told him you're going to betray him? Duh.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like he was set. It's like in 300, right? Like, it's awesome when he kicks the dude into the pit.
Yeah, but what did you think was going to happen?
You backed yourself up into a pit, man. What did you think was gonna happen? So, I'm just gonna stand, like, right by this flaming, like, fire pit of molten lava and give you a weapon or whatever, and let's see what happens. That's hubris, man. That's some pretty big hubris. So it's, whatever. I hated to see him go out like that, or go out at all, but I don't know. It would be interesting if you can't kill him. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he just became part of his.
Yeah.
I mean, but and Wednesday pissed on the whole batch and
That
put a curse on it. So I'm, you
was
know.
pretty funny. I'm interested to see how that comes back around.
Yeah, I was really
So,
curious.
all right, so A Prayer for Mad Sweeney, which unfortunately does not have Ian McShane in it at all.
But might be my favorite episode of the entire season.
But fortunately, it does not have Shadow Moon in it at all either. And again, not dismissing the actor at all. I cannot stand Shadow as a character. So it's the history of Mad Sweeney and how he got to America, but not really about Mad Sweeney. It's about this woman. What was her name? Essie McGowan, who kind of has this very, very tragic life.
Well, it's not so tragic.
And conveniently, played by Emily Browning, I don't know if we're supposed to make a connection with her and Laura. If these two characters are connected. I don't think they are.
Well, see, for some reason, this is why Madge Sweeney is drawn to her. I think that's what we come to by the end of the series, but you can keep going. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe connected in the whole, like maybe past lives kind of thing, but not like ancestors.
No, no.
So
I think it's very much almost like a past life thing.
Yeah.
If because not, I'll explain as we get further down the...
Well, they're pretty similar characters, right? You know, Laura, for all her faults, and maybe if we got other than like the highlight reel of her life, then we could actually feel some sympathy for her. But we didn't. We just got, here's the highlight slash lowlight reel. So I don't feel bad for her at all. I mean, she the way she died, good. You probably deserved it. So.
Yeah, but you also find out why she died.
Yeah. I forget where I was going with all that. Anyway, no,
you're too tired.
Yeah. They're very similar characters in that they kind of got backed into a corner and told that they were certain things, and so they just became those things, you know? Like, if somebody's going to accuse you of being a thief and try to kill you or hang you or punish you or whatever, then... bump this. Like, if I'm going to go to jail for it, then I'll actually commit the crime. You know? And that's kind of where this Essie McGowan character is. But we get to see her life play out in a way that she's able to kind of resolve her own...
Well, basically just find happiness.
Well, yeah, mean... yeah. By deciding that, you know...
I don't have to be what everybody thinks I
right,
am.
Right. Which is, you know, really, really powerful. And I think the episode does a good job of conveying all that with the narration. But...
Yeah, I love the narration. I love this stuff with Ibis. Is it Ibis?
Yes.
I loved all of that stuff.
I want to see more of their funeral home, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a funeral home. That's what I was going to say. It's
I don't know. It's a really, really good episode of a show that doesn't exist. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, this feels like It's something from a anthology show.
Yeah, like
Amazing Stories or something.
The one
like
on
that.
FX. Is it American Horror Story?
Yeah, but it's not really a horror story.
Where every season is a different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it feels like one of those.
Tales from the Crypt.
Again, it's not really horror, but... anyway, yeah. I'm with you. I enjoyed the episode. I think it shows off Emily Browning's skills.
And Schreiber's abilities.
I mean, but we've been praising this dude from day one.
I know, so. But he's so great in this episode.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's his history, but it's not, you see so little of him. And
yeah, but you knew it was him. Yeah. I mean, I knew, you had to know it was him.
It's kind of funny, like, not to jump back on the Jesus thing, but there's this freaking corny ass, like, you know, the footprints in the sand thing. The corny-ass, like, Christian parable thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, well,
I
these
walk,
were
yeah.
the tough times, and there's only one set of footprints. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's when I was
carrying.
Because
I
carrying.
carried you, yeah.
But, like, Mad Sweeney is this whole, like, kind of Jesus parable. Like, this episode is him kind of being Jesus. You know? Because you have this character who starts off, like, pretty innocent enough. You know? And society or people just turn her into this, like, bitter person who, you know, just repeatedly acts out and hurts other people and just repeatedly, eventually finds herself backed into a corner she can't get out of. You know, she uses her sexuality and, like, all this stuff. She does everything the wrong way. And still, this character, you know, because maybe I misread it, but the leprechaun or the little person or whatever that she's always telling the stories of, that she keeps leaving this stuff for, that's him, right? Did I lose you?
No, I'm sorry. I muted my mic. I was talking into a muted mic.
Oh, good.
No, yeah, that's how I took it. It was him. Well, not necessarily always him, but it definitely became him when he showed up in the same prison, I guess, prison that she was in.
So I think it's, but how did, he's a leprechaun. How, because every story, all the little stories are always about how this specific quote-unquote god got to this country. So, how did he get to America? He came with her. She brought
him. Yeah, exactly. That's why I can only assume that's how he wound up in the cell right next to her.
Right, because she brought him there. And so, all the time, he was with her.
Okay, I got you. So, yeah, it always had to be him, right?
Yeah, he was the Jesus in her story. And when she stopped, like, paying her tribute or whatever,
like, that's when she got arrested.
Things
again.
Went to hell, you yeah. know. And it was only
when she hits rock bottom that she remembers to keep
right.
paying her dues.
So I don't. It's just, it's a very, very. This is what I'm talking about when I'm like, yeah, Jesus, Mexican Jesus on crossing the border, getting shot down by a bunch of redneck assholes. Excuse the language. Is, like, really, really on the nose. And maybe that's good. You know, some people maybe just need that. This is very subtle. Like, there's so much stuff you can pull out of it. Like, these interpretations, like, what it's commenting on. You know, if nothing else, then, like, the way we treat criminals in society. You know? It's, I don't know, it's very deep, very good, very well acted. Like, I feel like if this show was going to get nominated for an Emmy, this is the episode you put up.
Well, this is the best acted episode for sure. I mean,
you know, the music is phenomenal. Short of, like, the slow motion car crash scene, I think everything in this episode is good, specifically the flashback stuff. Like, the modern day stuff, it's okay. Well, no, that's not true. Most
well,
of
it creates
good.
The connection.
Yeah. Most of it is actually good.
Talking about the connection, he could have took his gold coin. That's all he wanted was his coin. He could have took it, but he knows the connection. He never acknowledges it, but when he puts that gold coin back on top of her, that's when I'm like, okay, he does know that this is basically the same person from a different life.
See,
and he's not just going to abandon her on the side of the road.
I see how you read it that way, and I don't disagree with you, because obviously we're supposed to make that connection because they're played by the same actress. But I also feel like a lot of the flashback is him remembering how he got here, the reason he got here. You know, because the character...
Well, see, I would be with you, but it's not him remembering it. It's someone else writing it.
Yeah, you're right.
If it was him flashing back, I would be with you. Like, he's only remembering she looked like this because this is who is with him now.
Well, I'm not saying that's why she looks like that. I'm just saying I read it as a lot of it is him, maybe not him remembering, but showing us that he once was a compassionate character, a compassionate god, or whatever. And as people moved away from him, he cared less about people and became the character that goes to bars and picks fights with people. Not that he wasn't doing that before, because, like, the story she tells about the leprechauns, they're not exactly the nicest people, but you do want them on your side, they bring you
right,
luck.
Right, so you take care of them, they take care of you, kind of.
Right. And so, as evidenced by when she stops paying her tribute or whatever, her life goes to hell, then, you know, if you multiply that by some enormous amount, then you just have this forgotten god who is really no good for anybody and already kind of just liked being a bully. And now nobody gives a crap about him, so he's just going to bully everybody. So he becomes this bastard. And so to have him, like, come back around and show compassion for a character that clearly doesn't deserve it. Well, I shouldn't say doesn't deserve it, but anybody in their right mind would have a very difficult time being compassionate or anything other than, like, kind of mean and hateful towards somebody the way she's acted, then, you know, that's him kind of coming back to that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, though. Probably the best episode of the series so far. Which is a shame because none of the two main characters in the show are not in it at all.
And it's not really plot heavy at all. I mean, it has, this episode has no, that was the most disappointing part to me, was knowing that
this is the episode before the last episode.
Yeah.
And it has no bearing on the plot at all.
We made no progression at all.
Other than moving these two more towards, I guess, wherever Shadow and Wednesday are. So,
well, I eventually, my thoughts are that the Shadow and, it's not Essie. What's her name? Essie was the one in the old times.
Oh, Laura.
That the Shadow and Laura thing will eventually come to an end. And I really see a Mad Sweeney Laura thing happening. But, you know, don't tell me.
Then good. Let's cancel this show and just turn it into those two.
The Laura and Mad Sweeney show. Yeah. I'm down for it, dude.
So
it's like, I will kick you in the balls. The last time I kicked somebody in the balls, I don't remember what she said, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
My foot didn't stop until it got to their throat or something like that.
Yeah.
When they released the djinn, we did talk about that briefly. Well, not when they released him, when they stole the car. They released the djinn, then stole the car. And the guy
stole an ice cream truck.
Yeah. The guy was like, "Well, I'd rather her hit me because you'll probably kill me." And he was like,
"You don't want her to do it."
I promise you don't want her to hit you.
So yeah, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I'm happy that we're at the finale, just because maybe something will actually happen.
Well, not just that, it was a lot of setup, man. Mm. It's just 8 episodes of setting things up. I finally understand the new gods, old gods thing, so that's great. You know, I mean.
But don't you feel like they could have explained that a lot quicker than dragging it out for several episodes?
No, yeah, completely. Because, like, you know, New Gods are. I get the television thing and the music thing and the. Like, these are all new things to.
Well, these are the things modern society worships,
Right.
you know.
The
So,
internet, the music, the
yeah.
TV, the, you know.
Technology, it's not about nature or really, you know, like Bilquis, who we really
Is
don't
it
know
like
anything.
MIA?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we still don't know anything about her other than she has sex with people and basically swallows them with her private parts. You know, like she's kind of a goddess of sex, and like modern society doesn't really have that, you know, because it's not, you know, well, the commentary at least is saying like there's no passion in it anymore, you know, whereas hers is all about just like getting caught up in the passion of it all, and that's what she's kind of feeding on, but yeah, I'm hopeful for the finale, but not. I wouldn't say I'm excited. And I'm mostly just kind of
No, I
glad.
feel like I'm going to be disappointed because of what the last two episodes we've gotten have been, to me, the two best episodes.
See, I didn't like the episode before this.
No, well, I didn't
I like
enjoy it.
Corbin Burnson, but.
I enjoyed it more than all the previous episodes, though. And it might have been because of all the stuff with Corbin Burnson, but. And really just saying the last episode that aired last Sunday is the best episode of the series, and knowing that tomorrow or today, however, wherever this comes out, is the last episode we get to see until next year is very disappointing.
Yeah. If only because we've done 8 episodes and I feel like almost nothing has happened.
What's it's just a lot of introduction, a lot of build up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to say about the episodes?
No, not really.
I had a few more things I wanted to since we haven't talked about several things. A, did you see the Black Panther trailer yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell, man? That movie's gonna be
It's
amazing.
From what I can tell, it's definitely an origin story.
But not really, because I don't think they're doing like flashback stuff. Like, it takes place after Civil War.
See, what I was watching, I was like, okay, I could not figure it out whether this is pre-Civil War or after Civil War.
No, it's definitely after. So, you still haven't seen Wonder Woman, so there's
No.
that. Everybody should go see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's fantastic. But yeah, the Black Panther trailer is. I posted on Facebook. I said the Black Panther teaser trailer is my new favorite superhero movie. I mean, it just. It looks so freaking good, man. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for that. I mean that new thing. You know what I mean? What made Guardians so great? What's gonna make
What did
Spider-Man
make
so
Guardians
great?
so great? I still haven't found anything.
Ha 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 ha.
Haven't seen Guardians 2 yet either.
Because it was that new thing. It wasn't Iron Man 2. It wasn't Spider-Man 3. It wasn't. You know, it was that new thing.
I'm the thing that worries me is that Michael B. Jordan is playing the bad guy, and Marvel notoriously, no matter who they cast in bad guy roles, if they're not playing the character of Loki, they're just. Is they can be fantastic. Like Jeff Bridges is so much fun in the first Iron Man movie, but it's just a total waste. And like you don't they don't really do anything with the character. You know? Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2. Yeah, he's fun. Like, as bad as that movie kinda is.
The best Iron Man bad guy is the last one.
Yeah, I do like Iron Man 3, man. The Mandarin.
That was a huge, like, just...
It's so funny.
Gotcha.
It's so funny. But yeah, I'm worried that Michael B. Jordan is a phenomenal actor, and I do not want to see him shortchanged with a crummy villain role. You know, I want to see him do something good. I want to see him be Tom Hiddleston. What is it with Marvel and, like, well, this guy's name is Chris, so let's cast him in something. Because we got all these Chris's. We got a Tom. We need another Tom. How about this Holland kid for Spider-Man? And Spider-Man's out in a few weeks. I'm excited for that. What else have we got? Got any other news lately? If you want to get... I guess we can get kind of sad and morose for a minute. And not about our personal lives, because holy hell. That continues to be just a bummer.
You must be talking about Adam West.
Yeah. Adam West, our first Batman, passed away last week. And
I told a story on y'all's podcast that still resonates every time I think about Adam West.
I mean, you can tell it again. I have a Batman 66 podcast that comes out kind of regularly, and Ryan was on an episode and we were talking about it. But you don't have to go listen to it. He can tell the story here.
Yeah, FYI, Batman 66 probably up there with Seinfeld and actually right there. 1 and 2, and I can't tell you which one's number one, as my favorite shows of all time. When Nick at Night was actually Nick at Night, and they showed old shows, which the ones they show now are old, but
they're old. They're old to kids today, but they're the shows we watched when we were kids.
Right. When I was a kid, the shows they showed were Mr. Ed and Green Acres.
Stuff from like the 50s and
My 60s. Three Sons. And it progressed and progressed. Eventually they had Batman 66. My dad, for Christmas one year, gives me a whole set of VHS tapes that's every episode in order of Batman 66. We had no DVR then. He stayed up and he recorded every episode in order of Batman 66. I don't know how he deleted all the commercials out of there, except by sitting there, pause, record, pause, record, pause, record. That's how you deleted commercials out of a recording. That's one of the greatest things that I've ever received in my life. I still have it somewhere. But yeah, Batman 66 has always been something special to me, and he made it that much more. On the eve of Father's Day, he made it that much more special to me.
Yeah. It's a show that I do love. I don't think I put it in my top five, but it is. That was our first Batman. Yeah, I won't say that was my introduction to comics, because I really don't think it was. But it was, because we were probably watching like the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon, and well, actually, even before those 90s cartoons, there was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And
yeah, we watched that as kids.
Yeah, so I don't think Batman 66 was like, oh wow, these superheroes are, you know, but it was,
But we were big Scooby fans, and we had seen them on Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
We also had the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Well, the Super Friends.
Yeah, Super Friends. Well, it's been called a bunch of different
Yeah,
things.
they revamped it several times to call it different things. Just the same show repackaged or something new. But those are basically just toy commercials. But no, Adam West was a dude that never ever, like me and Adam talked about, we did this great, like almost 2 hour long podcast, talking about just Adam West and kind of what his career, what he meant to us. And,
Really sad that he got typecast for that period of time as Batman.
well, that's, we talked about that. But the thing about Adam West is he was never able to break out of that. And it's an easy thing to resent. I guess to a degree, Mark Hamill in the world of live action kind of never was able to step out of the shadow of Luke Skywalker. But Adam West had a similar, or was on a similar career path as William Shatner. Short-lived, well-loved 60s TV show.
Well, you can probably put all three pretty much in the same category. And then not to go back to Michael Keaton, but you can understand Michael Keaton's fear of,
Oh,
I do
absolutely.
not want this to happen to me.
Absolutely. When you look at kind of what it meant to Adam West's career. But the thing about Shatner is, and I won't use, I probably shouldn't have brought up Mark Hamill just because that's a movie thing, not necessarily a TV show thing. The thing about Shatner is, like, yeah, it probably took a while for Star Trek, for him to get past, like, the Star Trek TV show stuff, but he had a very successful run with T.J. Hooker. He did get to do the Star Trek movies, and while he still like had that for a long time, had the resentment about Star Trek, which he's reversed it now, and like a lot of them have, and kind of quote unquote remember it fondly. But I'm old enough to remember when they didn't want to be associated with the show. It was, they did the movies, but the movies paid, but they didn't like being hounded by fans. They didn't really understand the fandom of the show and why they were like so.
Well, that's a last 20, let's say 25 years. Is that a reasonable?
No, I'd say that's been since the 60s. People getting pigeonholed into that stuff.
No, I'm not done with my statement.
Oh, okay.
25 in the last 25 years, these conventions and geek fests and
Where people have embraced the fandom? Yes. Yeah.
yes.
I think
And
that's fair to say.
it's not just it's both sides have embraced the fandom.
I mean, because Star Wars is very similar. The people associated with the movies, like short of like maybe Mark Hamill, who is a fan of, this is why Mark Hamill compares to Adam West. Hamill's a fan of stuff like that, so he understands. West was a fan of, the reason his name is Adam West, I think, is because he loved westerns. Like, that's not his actual name.
I have a good story about Adam West. I don't know if you've ever heard.
What?
I told you I listened to sports talk radio.
Yeah.
Well, they did this whole Adam West thing before he died. And it was actually about a week before he died. It's the Dan Le Batard show.
Yeah.
Who is the official sports show that's not a sports show? He makes fun of sports shows. Anyways, they do you watch the Goldbergs?
Yeah.
What's the guy's name that plays the dad? I can't remember his name.
His name on the show is Murray, but I
Yeah,
always
I
forget
know
his
it's
name in
Murray.
real life.
I can't remember what his. Well, they did a
Jeff
Batman
Garland.
episode. Yeah, Jeff Garlin, he's great. They did a Batman episode where he did a Batman impression, Adam West Batman impression. Well, eventually they get Adam West on to ask him how the impression was, and they start asking him all these questions, and he tells this story about he goes to the dentist to get a cap on his tooth.
Oh, they put the Batman symbol on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't tell him. And he said, "No, I wasn't mad. I thought it was hilarious."
Yeah, they
And
can put those tattoos
that's how
on
much he
teeth.
embraced.
Oh, he was a huge, huge comic book fan. And there's so much interesting stuff about Adam West that nobody really knows because he's kind of a private person. Like he didn't air his dirty laundry. You know, he just was not that guy. And he talks or has talked about kind of being resentful of being pigeonholed into the whole, yeah, you're the guy that played Batman thing. But going back to my point about like Shatner, like Adam West never crapped on the fandom. Like he's like, well, I took the job, I made the choice, I don't regret playing Batman. I guess this is just what I have to deal with. Whereas like Shatner and a lot of those other people worked desperately to try to show that they weren't just those guys on Star Trek, you know? And it was only later that they kind of came back to him and were like, oh no, yeah, we loved the show. It meant the world to us. And Batman meant the world to Adam West. And it, like he never, ever, ever turned his back on fandom. But William Shatner got that late career kind of home run that Adam West never got. And that's
Well,
what.
no, I mean, I kind of agree with you, but the fans of Family Guy, they
No,
gotta love Adam West.
you're right, they do. But that's Adam West spoofing himself.
But
And
that's what
spoofing it.
makes it so great.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right, because you didn't watch Boston Legal, did you?
No, not really.
I mean, I guess Denny Crane is William Shatner, kind of spoofing William Shatner. But, I mean, the dude won an Emmy for that show. Adam
Yeah,
West
and
is.
Adam West never did.
He's
Yeah, I got it.
just as good an actor as William Shatner. Just as good. And the fact that he never got to. Look at everything he did after Batman. Most of it is him playing some version of Batman or himself. Just because
No, I
that's.
can understand that, but you know, I'm a big sports guy too. It runs along the same lines of I'll use Charles Barkley since we're right at the end of the NBA season. Charles Barkley never won a championship. But Charles Barkley wanted to win a championship with the team that he was playing for. There was no super teams, there was no, I mean, you want to talk about Boston Legal, that was kind of a super team. I
Well,
mean,
the show in and of itself, like from like the top down or from the bottom up, no matter how you look at it, it's a show that is, you're right, it's specifically not that it wasn't good. It was brilliant. I loved
is.
it.
The
And
Golden State Warriors are great, but they're a super team.
right,
You know what I mean?
it is engineered to be this thing, this powerhouse. Whereas you're right, you know, that's why when, like, it's stupid to get excited about awards, like, as a fan of something. I mean, it is just kind of
I
dumb.
mean, this is strictly why I don't watch awards, because I don't care. I don't care
Because,
who's.
well, for the most part, they just reward, like, oh, yeah, that guy who does that. You know, Bryan Cranston is phenomenal, but. Like, we all know he's phenomenal, man. He didn't deliver anything that was, like, beyond him. You know what I mean? And so when, or that was, I don't think I don't think his performance in Breaking Bad is groundbreaking, because I think he's always been great.
So do
And
I.
I think if anything in Breaking Bad deserved to be rewarded, it's like the writing and the directing. You know, you. But anyway, the point of that is, like, when, like, Mr. Robot wins an Emmy, when Christian Slater wins an Emmy, or Rami Malek wins something, or whatever, like, that's a show that, I wouldn't say it flies under the radar, because it doesn't fly under the radar, but it's not a show bred to be a powerhouse. So, right. You know, I don't put a lot of faith or get really excited for, like, the Golden Globes, but the first year Brooklyn Nine-Nine was on the air and won a Golden Globe for Best Comedy. That's not a show you see winning an award like that. And you see Andy Samberg go up there and talk about it, and it's like, it makes you so happy, you know? And So yeah, Tatiana Maslany winning a freaking Emmy after 4 years of Orphan Black and people screaming, like, why is nobody paying attention to what she's doing?
That was a ripoff, actually. I mean, she should have won it the first freaking year.
Yeah.
But...
So that's why, as, like,
that's even fans... worse than the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because Brooklyn Nine-Nine... If it did not succeed, then it was poor writing, because you casted everybody that you could that would make this show succeed.
Yeah, that show is a perfect comedy cast. But as good as the writing on Orphan Black is, as good as the storytelling and the writing on Mr. Robot are, it kind of rises and falls with those performances, because they're brilliant shows, but you've got to have somebody who can deliver those performances and not do it in this big grandstanding way. And so it makes it exciting. And the fact that the point of all this was Adam West, as a geek icon, didn't get a moment like that. And the thing that makes him so great is, I don't think he gave a shit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I really don't.
Batman won an Emmy for Best Comedy when it was on the air, like the second year, I think. It won an Emmy for Best Comedy. That's the closest they ever got. But I don't think he cared, man. You know, he... two things he's said. One was, I think, in Big Bang Theory, which... whatever, but
that was a great episode,
isn't it, in Big Bang Theory, when he says, I didn't have to tell people I was Batman, I just showed up and they knew who I was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's said for laughs and played for laughs, but it's true, man. And he got into the, especially as the show kind of got this resurgence in the last few years, He would talk about his time as Batman and say, look, you guys have The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, that's fine, whatever. But I'm the Bright Knight, you know? He was the thing in Batman that is essentially gone now from almost every performance. You know, it's all about
the grim and gritty. No, I'm with the Bright Knight thing. I mean, it was 1966. You're in the height of...
Technicolor.
Yeah. Technicolor, peace, love, no war. You know, everything's all about getting along and, you know, getting high or what... You know, not everybody did, but...
But no, yeah, just the...
That helped make that show popular.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bright and airy, and, you know, with all the bad news that's coming through, you can turn on Batman and just have a good time. And
there was some hope to it. That, I mean, when's the last time you saw a hopeful Batman movie? I mean, I guess the end of The Dark Knight is hopeful with the whole, like, you know, the people out on the boat thing, but... you know, whatever. It is what it is. Most of that movie is very, very dark. But yeah, it was just, it
Actually, to
was.
answer your question, last hopeful Batman movie, Lego Batman the movie.
Well, there you go. So we just got one that paid tremendous homage to
It was
Batman
fantastic.
66. So it was, I don't know, it was a bummer to wake up and read that news. He had, he had what Glenn had, our uncle that died a few years ago.
I didn't know. I did not read what he died from. So,
It's the blood cancer. Leukemia,
not
right?
leukemia. Yeah, that's like yeah, that's
So,
like more like bone marrow cancer, I think.
how is it? I think it's leukemia. Now I'm doubting myself.
But yeah, I think Will Forte, is it Will Forte? No, it's not
Yeah.
Will Forte.
No,
It's
it's
Will Forte does the last man on
yeah,
Earth.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yeah.
Leukemia. I was right. It's leukemia. Yeah, Adam West died. I mean, it was a very, very short battle, apparently. So I mean, it sounds stupid to say, well, at least we can be thankful for that. But honestly, you know, you're in your late 80s.
No, it's not just Batman that I'm gonna, you know, yes, I always miss Batman, and I'm very grateful that him and what's his name got to make that last animated movie. But he
Well,
will
we've
be,
got one more coming out.
oh, really?
Yeah, they finished one more. What,
Awesome.
you didn't the Batman versus Two-Face with William Shatner as Two-Face?
Oh my God.
Yeah, they finished like that's kind of like this weird bittersweet like make you tear up and just kind of have an emotional breakdown is like the dude never turned his back on his time as Batman. And the last thing he got to do was play Batman. Like,
Well then, that's just a godsend, dude. I mean,
you cannot possibly, like, you can't be bummed about that, you know? That he got to play Batman one last time. You know, it sucks we'll never get to see it again, because that first animated movie was really good. I don't know if you watched it, Return of the Caped
no, I haven't
Crusaders.
watched it yet,
It's
no.
really good. So we get to see one more, and you know that's, you know, that's
I
something to
mean,
be
I'm
thankful
really
for.
gonna miss him on Family Guy. I really am.
Yeah.
Family Guy has fallen off severely, but
He is the best thing.
Adam
Every time
West
you
has
watch it,
not missed a beat, dude.
he
Not
is the
one beat.
best thing on that show. So, there was somebody else that died that probably, I don't want to say like means more to you than me, but somebody that I didn't know she died. She died about a week or a week and a half ago.
Are you going to tell me about somebody I don't know that died?
Probably. I didn't know she died.
Who is it?
An actress named Glenn Headley. She's on a lot of stuff, but she was on ER. She was Abby Keaton.
I'll have to look up Abby Keaton to know the face.
Oh, you'll know her when you see her. She's Tess Trueheart and Dick Tracy. The
Oh,
blonde.
shit. Yeah.
Yeah, she passed away about a week ago. So she hadn't done much lately because she did the Martin Short kind of thing where she's like, no, my family is the most important thing. So she just kind of like stepped away from acting for the most part. Like she showed up in a Parks and Rec episode, a Psych episode.
Yeah.
She was in like The League. She was a Monk for like 3 or 4 episodes over the course of its run.
Wow, what did she die from?
I don't remember. I just remember reading that she died. Oh, pulmonary embolism. That's the blood vessel in your brain. like Pops or something, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you recognize her, right?
No, yeah, I'm looking at her now. Yeah.
So, I mean, she wasn't in a lot because, like I said, for the last like decade, she didn't really do that much. But she's freaking good actress, man. And like that sucked. So, it always sucks to read about people who you kind of respect and really, really like their work. I mean, I'm kind of stating the obvious there, but so I feel like we should not end on
I
sad
knew she
things.
was in Grey's Anatomy.
Ooh.
I have not been voluntarily watching Grey's Anatomy,
You get
but
kind of pulled into it, so.
yeah. And I knew she was on SVU. Yeah. Yeah, so she's on some of the shows I watch religiously, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a better place
Yeah,
to.
I think I'm pretty much 2 days in the valley. That's
Oh
the
yeah,
one.
that's right. That's a good movie, man.
That's the one, yeah.
I hate to end it there, but I don't know. I don't have any good news.
Well, I haven't looked for any Mr. Robot news lately, so.
I mean, I follow the account on Facebook, so I feel like if there had been, then I would probably know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, so. But,
Oh, I did read an interesting tidbit about, you were talking about Scooby-Doo earlier. The Scooby-Doo movie, the live-action movie,
yeah.
originally was adult themed, not like sex, but adult themed and rated R. It was a rated R adult themed comedy.
Oh, really?
They cut it to be a PG kids movie. The first version submitted for rating was rated R. Apparently,
Wow.
there's some nudity that is CGI'd out in the movie.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, right? I just thought you brought up Scooby-Doo. I was reading it because James Gunn, the guy that did Guardians of the Galaxy, he wrote those two Scooby-Doo movies.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
I don't know. It is what it is. I guess that's at least interesting. Or when Joel Schumacher apologized for Batman and Robin, which he should apologize for Batman and Robin. People that think he should apologize for Batman Forever are wrong. That movie's better than people give it credit for.
Okay, which one is which? Tell me.
Batman and Robin is the last one with the nipples on the bat suit.
Okay, yeah, bad.
So yeah,
And Batman and Robin is the Joker and Two-Face. Or no, Batman Forever is the Joker and
no,
Two-Face.
Riddler, not Joker.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Oh, and going back to the Adam West thing, he did that Powerless show based in the DCU that got canceled. He did an episode that never aired.
Yeah, you can't find them either.
They're putting it out. Like
Okay,
I
good.
think you can go to the DC Entertainment website and stream it. So, and Los Angeles the other day put a bat symbol on City Hall. Like they projected a bat symbol onto City Hall in LA to honor Adam West. Like how cool is that?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so there's that. We'll be back, I don't know, probably before the end of the week. talking about the finale, right?
Should be.
Hopefully it's good. We're on Twitter at Mr. Robot Podcast. You can email us, MrRobotPodcast@gmail.com. Go write and review us on iTunes. We should probably go look and see if we have any recent reviews of people being like, God, the show sucks when they're not talking about Mr. Robot. We still do not know what we're going to do till October. We've got a few months to fill. And
well, I think we should... I there's a couple of things I got ideas about. I'll bounce them off of you. So
yeah. We just do like hang out and talk shows. You know, like where we just talk about what we've been watching or whatever. I thought about tackling like, because we're always talking about doing TV shows, but it can get kind of daunting if it's not 8 episodes. I thought about, we could do a movie series. Like, we talk enough about Star Wars. I mean, not that I'm against doing Star Wars, but I feel like it comes up in every podcast regardless. But, like, not like Fast and the Furious, but like a film series. That.
Let's do The Matrix.
No.
I was just kidding.
I mean, it kind of relates to Mr. Robot with the computer stuff.
No. I really don't like anything other than the
there's only one films. Matrix movie, man. I don't know what you're talking about. So
I like part two.
You're wrong. So well, no, you're not wrong. You do like it. You're wrong if you think it's good.
Well, it's not great, but there is about 45 minutes of it that is really good.
Yeah, but it's a 2.5 hour movie. It needs to be more than 45 minutes of a good movie.
No, but there is really a really good 45 minutes of that movie.
I'm not disagreeing with you. The beginning's kind of fun. So, you know.
Well, that's all I remember is the beginning.
It would be interesting to do Harry Potter. Because you've only ever watched like the first two movies, right?
Like the first three or four. Where's the one where the Phoenix is introduced?
Maybe the third one.
So I've seen the first three or four. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Roger Moore died too. We didn't talk about that. But I was.
I didn't know he died.
You didn't?
No.
So we can end on a kind of interesting story. And I guess we'll talk about it off the air and decide next week, I guess, what we're gonna do. We should just do our favorite movies of all time. Like we'll do my top 4 or 5 and your top 4 or 5, and then like every week we'll discuss
Bond or just movies?
Movies in general.
Okay.
Like top 5. Like we'll start at 5 and you'll watch my number 5 and I'll watch your number 5 and then we'll talk about it. Because if it's your number 5 movie, then obviously, like, you know about it. You don't have to rewatch it. So, and if it's one, like, if it's the same, then it's the same. But, that might be interesting. So, anyway, so, kind of interesting story involving Roger Moore and Adam West. Now, Adam West tells this story. So I don't know that it's true. This is not me saying this is a fact. And I'm kind of inferring some things. But after, Sean Connery left the Bond franchise, they were going to revamp it, right? Roger Moore took over Bond in the 70s. So when, Connery left, Adam West said that after Batman was off the air, I'm getting ahead of myself, but after Batman was off the air, he met with the Broccolis, who are the people that own the rights to the Bond franchise.
Right.
about revamping Bond and making him American. Now, the interesting thing about that is the reason Adam West got brought in to play Batman was because the producers on Batman had seen a Nestle Quick commercial he did where he played a secret agent and thought he had the right kind of like
swagger.
Yeah, but with that kind of tongue-in-cheek thing, because you're doing it for a Nestle Quick commercial. So you got to be kind of smooth, but you also got to be like, yeah, I know this is kind of goofy and stupid. So that's how he got brought in to audition for Batman. So Batman goes off the air, and he meets with the Broccolis, one of them anyway, about revamping James Bond as an American spy. Since, you know, the Connery stuff had petered out and he wasn't coming back. So, Adam West took a meeting about playing James Bond. Do you know what he told him?
I have no idea.
James Bond should not be American. He should be British. Now, I'm not saying that Adam West is the reason we got Roger Moore's James Bond. But,
well, bravo to Adam West.
Shortly after, they make a new Bond movie with Roger Moore. So, there you go. If they talk to maybe anybody else about playing Bond, and I'm sure he wasn't, they were like, well, Adam West said we should do it this way. But I'm just saying, he put a bug in somebody's ear high up. Saying, no, Bond should be British. Don't make him an American super spy. He should be British. And, you know, so you're right. Good on him. Again, a guy that got pigeonholed for playing Batman, met to play James Bond, and said, I should not do this. He should not be American. You really need to find a British guy. So, anyway. Kind of funny story.
No, it's a good story. Yeah.
What'd you think about the movie idea?
Remind me what you're talking about.
The top five. I just said it 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. You said movie idea. That could qualify as anything.
I guess so. As something to do while we kill the time.
No, I think it's great. Yeah.
Should we narrow it down to a genre or just our top five movies of all time?
I mean, I say go top five all time, but I'm gonna have a hard time coming up with that. But I'll get it.
You don't think you just off the bat name your top five movies of all time? Maybe not in a specific order, but...
Yeah, I can name my top five movies of all time. All right,
you know, we could just spend the rest until it comes back doing, like, top five lists. Of whatever. Like, top five films of all time.
In no specific order?
Maybe. Or narrow it down to genre. Or not top five, top three.
No, I don't want no genre. I just want...
Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, we could do, like, episodes, like, these are our top three horror movies of all time. These are our top three science fiction movies of all time. These are our top three fantasy movies of all time. Or we could do, like, three desert island movies. You cannot do
fantasy and sci-fi. It will not. No, I can't do that.
What, is two separate things?
Yeah, no, it's going to be the same thing for me. I mean, it's going to be.
Star Wars?
Fantasy and sci-fi are the same thing.
No, they're not. Oh, my God. That's a whole other argument. So follow us on Twitter. Go write and review us on iTunes. And we'll be back next week, or by the end of this week, probably, talking about the season, not series, finale of American Gods. And I got to tell you, man, they got to pull a rabbit out of their ass if I'm going to discuss season two. Because if it's anything like this, my discussion of season two will be after the season is aired, and we can talk about it in one episode.
It'll be five episodes at a time.
Yeah, it's just so slow, man. But this last episode, really, really good. So, and if you watch Orphan Black, Stray Noir, the Orphan Black podcast I do with Tim and Mina. It's back. Tim was not there for the season premiere because he's a slacker. But Mina and I talked about it last season, man. It's the last season of a show that I love. I just love so much.
Yeah, I'm about to watch the first episode and keep caught up. So
I'm pretty sure I'm going to cry at the end of it.
If you want me to jump on, just text me, call me. I'll jump on.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we're doing it, if you can be there. So, yeah, go check that out over on filmdispenser.com. And I guess we wound up talking a long time about two episodes that we only liked one of.
Well, 40 minutes of it was about other stuff.
Yeah, there was a good 30-minute Adam West conversation in there. So, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Here's a little wedge for the never believer. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling.